Exodus 10, 27. Now, the first four verses in chapter 11 are the Lord speaking to Moses while he's standing in front of Pharaoh. And so I'm going to read what Pharaoh says to Moses, and then I'm going to read what Moses says to Pharaoh, and that will be commencing in the fourth verse of the 11th chapter of Exodus. And so you can just follow along with me. I'll read 27, 28, and 29, and then 4, 5, and so forth. And you can go back and read the dissertation that God spoke to Moses while he was standing there. But I think that for the impact of what was happening at this particular moment, I'm going to read them together like that. And I believe you'll understand why. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. And Pharaoh said unto him, Get thee from me. Take heed to yourself, see my face no more. For in the day that you see my face, you shall die. And Moses said, You have spoken well, I will see your face again no more. And Moses said, Thus saith the Lord, About midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that setteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservants that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man nor beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, Get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. Now I want you to go with me to the book of Isaiah and the 57th chapter. Beginning with verse 1, Isaiah 57, 1. The righteous perisheth, and no man lays it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace, they shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. But draw near hither, ye sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Against whom do you sport yourselves? Against whom make ye a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are you not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood? Inflaming yourselves with idols under evergreen tree, slaying the children in the valleys, under the cliffs of the rocks. Among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They are thy lot. Even to them hast thou poured a drink offering. Thou hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort in these? Upon a lofty and high mountain hast thou set thy bed. Even thither wentest thou up to offer sacrifice. Behind the doors also and the posts hast thou set up thy remembrance. For thou hast discovered thyself to another than me, and art gone up. Thou hast enlarged thy bed and made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed where thou sawest it. And thou wentest to the king with ointment, and did increase thy perfumes, and did send thy messengers far off, and did debase thyself even unto hell. Father, I pray that you'll bless this word and that you'll channel my thoughts and put it together, God, that it might minister to every need in it, to every heart. I pray it in the holy name of Jesus. Amen and amen. The church is headed to victory. I'm talking about the church of God is headed to victory. But there are people who have said, Lord, Lord, and they're headed to hell. There's a difference. The difference between knowing Jesus Christ and the truth and being religious is that if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're headed to heaven. And if you are a religious person, you're headed to hell. The devil has a plan of attack against Almighty God. And that plan of attack centers around rebellion. Rebellion. Rebelling against God's truth. God's Spirit is drawing His people to a point in time. We are coming either to the most catastrophic hour we've ever been in, or we're going to come to the most glorious victory we've ever seen. And it's up to you which way you choose. It's up to you which way you choose. In the scriptures that we read in Exodus, one of the most important confrontations in the entire scriptures took place. Egypt has done battle with Israel all the way through God's Word. In 1948, Egypt jumped on Israel to try and destroy them when they first became an independent nation. In 1955, Egypt jumped on Israel to try and destroy her. In 1967, Israel went to war again with Egypt. In 1973, Egypt jumped on Israel on the Day of Atonement because it was a holy high day in Israel. And it was the Day of Atonement, and it was the day that all of Israel's military forces were fasting before the Lord. 1973. Those seven Jewish feasts are as important to you and me as they were to Israel, because they are a picture of God's timing to you and me. The first four feasts, Jesus specifically did something on each one of those. He is the Passover lamb, and He was crucified on the Passover, which was a feast, and that was not an accident that He was crucified on that day. He is the first fruits. He is the unleavened bread. He said He was. Those are feasts. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out. So God showed us that those feasts were not just holidays in Israel. They were symbolic of something God was going to do to His people. And you and I have been the recipients of something that happened on every one of those days. You are born again only because the Passover Lamb Jesus shed His blood. And you applied that blood to the doorpost of your heart. You have resurrection only because Jesus was the first fruits and resurrected from the dead. You have the Holy Spirit, God's priesthood of the hour, God's teacher of the hour. How many know what I'm talking about? Jesus said this Holy Spirit, when He comes upon you, He'll lead you and guide you into all truth. You and I have the teacher sent from God only because of the day called Pentecost. Now, the next three Jewish feasts are important to me and you, because one of them was the Feast of Trumpets, and that was symbolic of drawing God's people together, because the trumpet sounded a message. It sounded a message, just like our cavalry sounded charge with a trumpet. They blew a trumpet, and that trumpet made the charge noise, and the cavalry knew to charge. How many know what I'm talking about? And that's what a trumpet was all about. It was a message sent to gather God's people. The second of those last three feasts was the Feast of Atonement. And that was a time of affliction. That was a time of affliction. It had a tremendous impact on the people of God, and you were required to attend that feast. The last one is the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, how many of us realize that we are the tabernacle of God? How many know that you are God's tabernacle? That God dwells in you? That we are the temple of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens? You and I are that tabernacle. But we are not together as a tabernacle yet. So we see that the Feast of Trumpets is going to gather God's people into a unity. The Feast of Atonement is going to bring us successfully through tribulation, persecution, distress. And then the Feast of Tabernacles is when God's people are really joined, bone to His bone and flesh to His flesh. Now, let me tell you something about this. God gave us a message in the Old Testament, and He said there were going to be two anointed ministries that would come in the last days. Now, the reason I know that this is true is because in Micah, He said it. In Zechariah, He said it. In the book of Revelations, He declared it. He said, these two anointed ones that appear with the Lord of the whole earth. Now, these two anointed ones that appear with the Lord of the whole earth are two ministries that God laid out for us in the Old Testament. The reason God laid them out for us in the Old Testament is so that we would understand what was going to happen to God's people under the leadership of those two anointings. When the people that went on the Mountain of Transfiguration with Jesus, Peter, James, and John went up on the Mountain of Transfiguration, and Jesus was transfigured before them, the Bible said that Elijah stood there and Moses stood there with him, and they talked with Jesus. Now, there are all kinds of doctrines that tell you what those two anointed ministries are, but let me tell you what they are according to God's own word. Because in Zechariah, He said they will appear with the Lord of the whole earth. And I'm here to tell you who the Lord of the whole earth is Jesus. And when Jesus went up on that mountain of transfiguration, it was Elijah and Moses that appeared with Him on that mountain. Now listen, when they came down off of the mountain, His disciples brought up these two anointed ministries to Jesus. They said, Jesus, how come the scribes say that Elijah has to come before you? Don't tell me that God wasn't telling me and you that those were the two anointed ministries. God was telling me and you that what Peter and James and John saw on that mountain were the two anointed ministries that had something to do with the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible said these emptied the oil out of themselves into the candlestick. Now listen to me. I'm not talking about a single man, but I'm talking about an anointing and a force of what that man did. Now listen. Elijah came and he called God's people, and this was his ministry. He said, how long are you going to halt between opinions? If God's God, serve Him. And if Baal's God, serve him. And he said, this is how you're going to know the true God. He said, you get the false prophets and the true prophets together. And he said, you get them both to lay out the sacrifice. That's me and you. He said, false doctrine, oh, it has its altars. It has its do's and don'ts. But he said, I'll tell you what false religion can never, never, never do. And he said, how long are you going to be in religious confusion? If ever was a day that men and women are in religious confusion, this is that day. This is that hour. They ask you which way is true, which way is right. One guy stands on one corner, says, we're the truth. Another guy stands on the corner across the street, said, no, we're the truth. They all put the same thing in Scripture. God sent Elijah. The spirit of Elijah is going to declare how you know the truth of God's ministries and how you know the false. After the prophets of Baal tried all day long to get the fire of God from heaven to consume the sacrifice, Elijah went out there, built up the altar of the evening sacrifice, laid the wood in order. Then he laid the bullock down on it. Then he washed it with 12 barrels of water. And then he called for the fire from heaven to consume it. Let me tell you what false religion can do. It can have rules of do's and don'ts. It'll have an altar. It'll tell you to give up this. It'll tell you to give up that. One of the fastest growing cults in the world are the Moonies. And they make their people give up everything. Those kids have to give up everything they've got. Hare Krishna is growing by leaps and bounds. That's the truth. The Muslim faiths are the same way. And that's because they demand of their people, they demand of them all sorts of obedience. Hello? That's religion. That's religion. And you and me were born with something inside of us that says, I want to work my way to God. I want to please God by doing things for God. And the devil seized upon that need inside of your life that says, I've just got to do something for God. And God showed us that picture on that mountain. He said, let me tell you something. False religion has its do's and don'ts and has its altar. False religion has even got words from the Bible. False religion can kill the bullock, but false religion can't consume it. Can't consume it. Listen to me. I can preach to you do's and don'ts until you stop doing things. But I cannot put in you that resurrected life that begins to make you live an overcoming life. That's what's happening. The whole world is struggling away at religion, but only the truth can cause you to overcome. Only the truth puts the power of God inside of you to really consume the dross. Only God's true ministries can set you on a course that will bring you above sin. And that's what God said. God said, I'll tell you the difference between true religion and false. You show me people that keep going to the altar, keep going to the altar, keep going to the altar, keep going to the altar. They're battered with sin. They're battered with unbelief. They're battered with those kind of things. Those are people that are not hearing the truth of the Word of God. When you begin to hear the Word of God, that power of God inside of you begins to make you new. I'm talking you're born again. You don't even have the same mind you used to have. And that's what false religion can't do. It cannot change the way you think. False religion can tell you don't think it. But false religion can't put the power of God inside of you to make you where you don't think it. And so you struggle all day long with your thoughts. But the truth is the power of God wants to change your mind. In Philippians he said, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Now listen, religion, Egypt is a type of religion. I know the world teaches that Egypt's a type of sin, but it ain't. God's people went into Egypt to eat. How many know how they got there? Joseph, sold by his brothers, went into Egypt. Pharaoh had a dream. How many knows that's the truth? That's how God's people got into Egypt. They went over there to eat. You can't tell me that God's people went into sin to eat. They went over there to get fed, and as long as Joseph was a ruler in Egypt, they were free to eat, to live. But the very same people in the very same country, when Joseph died, Joseph was a type, a perfect type of Jesus Christ, and when that country, Egypt, lost its reality of Jesus Christ, those same people became slaves in that country. And that's what religion is. That's what religion is. When you lose that personal experience with Jesus Christ, when it becomes dim in your mind and you just keep doing the ritual of it. Hello? When you just keep doing the things you learned to do way back in Sunday school. When churches just keep doing, hey listen, the Methodists are still doing what Wesley did. The Lutheran church is still doing what Luther did. How many knows that's true? Hello? And so what happened is that those people that came up in that have become slaves. They're not free. They're not free. Egypt is religion without the right leadership. Without leadership that has a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Egypt was a kingdom. Pharaoh was more interested in his kingdom than he was in the people of God. How many knows that's true? Hello? I said, Pharaoh was more interested in his kingdom than he was the people of God, and Joseph had fed him and saved his country and protected his children and kept him alive, but he loved his kingdom more than he loved his life, saving friend. How many knows that's true? That's what religion's all about. Loving a kingdom more than you love Christ. That's how simple it is. That's how simple it is. Now listen. In this dissertation that we read, Moses has come in to Pharaoh and he said, I'm going to talk to you about the people of God. And he said, I want you to let my son go. Singularly. Yeah, he did. In several places he said, I want you to let my son go that he might come out and serve me. God's son is Jesus Christ. But the Bible said he was a many-membered body. How many of you know that you're part of that body of Jesus Christ? You're a part of that body of Jesus Christ. Now listen. That body of Jesus Christ today is scattered all over the world in different religious kingdoms. If you think for a minute that God's going to wait for a day in eternity to bring down all of those kingdoms and set his people free, you're wrong. God's going to set his people free right here on the face of the earth to come and serve him in a newness of life. And that's where those last three feasts come in. That Feast of Trumpets is going to sound a message to God's people that says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Come out of this religious confusion. You can't have a head. He said over there in Isaiah, you've played the harlot. You went to somebody else's bed. Don't you know that your children are children of transgression? Seed of iniquity, evildoers? He said, I'm going to destroy your children. Now listen to me. We're coming to an hour that God's going to divide a line between that which is holy and that which is profane. There is a war going to commence, and it's going to commence with a ministry like Moses's. Elijah said, how long do you halt between opinions? If God's God, serve him. If God's God, serve him. Now listen. When Elijah finished saying that, the Bible said the fire fell from heaven. Consume that sacrifice. Is that right? So Elijah's ministry took the sacrifice and burned it with fire. How many of you know that Job said, he knows the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. God's going to burn out the dross out of me and you, and it's going to take a ministry like Elijah's to begin to put the fire on you. What's happening in this day is that the doctrines of men are getting softer and softer and softer. The doctrines of today are getting cooler and cooler and cooler. You can go into a church and not only do they not burn out the dross, they don't even get hot enough, you have to take your coat off. I've just noticed that some of you have been taking your coats off. That's why I said that. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I'm saying that the doctrines of men can't get you hot enough to burn the dross out of you. You know why the doctrines of men can't get that hot? You know why? There's a church down the street. You hear what I said? Don't you know that if your preacher gets you hot enough, he thinks you're going to go down the street and go to a different church and he's lost a number in his kingdom? Huh? Let me tell you something about what God's doing. God said, the problem with my church is not, it is not, that the people would leave me. The problem with my church is that my ministers won't turn up the fire hot enough to purify my people. Amen. The preacher will say, yeah, but they'll go down the street. God said, if I turn up the fire and they go down the street, let them go down the street. If they love me, they're going to come back. If they don't love me, they aren't part of my kingdom in the first place. I'm going to have a kingdom without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing. And the churches and all the pastors that are patting people on the back aren't doing them any favors. God said, turn up the heat. Get that thing hot. Begin to burn out the dross. The hour of the church being cleaned up is happening now. And if you go someplace else, that's up to you. But if I tell you the truth, the power of God can change you. If the fire gets hot enough, you can scoot enough to polish those chairs. You can begin to get stirred up inside. You can hate me if you want to. But I'm going to turn up the heat. God didn't send me here to pat you on the back. God didn't send me here to get a popularity contest. There is no ballot box in this place to see if you think I'm the most likely to succeed. God sent me here to tell you something you don't like. Everything that he needs to tell you to clean your life up, I hope I tell you. I hope you stay around long enough to get it told to you. That's what God's talking about. Elijah said, let me tell you something. You're in religious confusion because you forgot that God don't play footsie with the church. God burns out the dross. And you're all excited because your false prophets haven't burned any dross out. You're in confusion because you like what you hear. And he said, I'm going to send you a man and you're not going to like what he says. Because he's going to say, if I be a man of God, I declare that the heavens are going to dry up and your country's going to go into a famine until you have to eat your children. You're going to see people dying around you like flies. He said, I'm going to call for a famine in this land and you're going to come to the knowledge that God's doing something. I'll tell you something, Elijah said, I'm not no mush mouth nothing. It's about time God stirred up some men with that kind of anointing. He said, we're not going to mush mouth around the church. God's people are hungry to do what God calls them to do. God's people are hungry for a direction that will burn out the dross. God's people are hungry for ministries that have got a word from God that can do something in their life that will give them the power to overcome. That's the truth. Those churches in the book of Revelation, God said, let me tell you something about you. If you don't get straightened up, I'm going to take your candlestick away. You think a preacher don't have something with God? You think there ain't a reason that God sends ministries on the face of the earth? He didn't tell them he's going to send them to hell, brother. He said he was going to take their light away. He said, I've sent you a messenger. I've sent you a word, and you won't hear it. If you don't get turned around and straightened up, I'm going to take your light away. Going to take your light away. Brother, you tell some church, if you guys don't get straightened up, we're going to take your preacher away. They say, I second that motion. You know it's the truth? You know it's the truth? You don't get straightened up, we're going to take your preacher away. They said, couldn't happen today sooner. We're packing. Come on, that's the truth. Amen. That's the problem with God's people today. They don't recognize that there's an authority that should be sent from God over a man of God, and under the authority of that word is, thus saith the Lord. We've had too many people that learn how to preach. Brother, I'm not interested in learning how to preach. What I want is a desire in my soul to have, thus saith the Lord, inside of my heart. What I want is that power of the very presence of the Almighty God to raise up inside of me, to begin to stir up inside of me so that I can stand in front of the devil and all of his division and say, thus saith the Lord. That's the truth. Pharaoh said, okay, you can leave, but you can't take your cattle with you. Isn't that just like religion? Isn't that just like religion? Said, you can't take what you need to serve God. Said, you go ahead and go. You can take your kids, but don't. You can't take your cattle. You read that last part of the 10th chapter. Moses said, we're going to take our cattle. Pharaoh had been given a little bit at a time. Hello? The religious world's going to give a little bit at a time. I'll tell you something. When God began to sound the trumpets, the Feast of Trumpets, I believe with all of my heart in 1949, God began to sound the Feast of Trumpets. In 1948, let me tell you what happened in 1948. In 1948, Israel became a nation again physically, and that's a physical sign to the world, believe it or not. Israel, the physical nation of Israel, is a physical sign to the world. She became a nation again. In 1948 was the height of a revival that God stirred up in America, and gospel tents traveled the depth and breadth of this land, and a revival spread from America around the world. And the message of that revival was, come out from among them. God was pronouncing death. God told William Brenham, I want you to pronounce death on organized religion. There ain't going to be another organized church rise up in America. And you know what? Since that day to this, there has not been another organized church rise up in America. And I'll tell you something. We were coming along at a pretty good clip up till that time. We were getting the Four Square. We were getting the Assemblies of God. We were getting the Methodists. We were getting the Lutherans. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. And I mean to tell you, the church world was growing by leaps and bounds. Every time somebody got a little bit of a revelation, they started another church. And God said in 1948, I'm through with this thing. I'm sounding a trumpet. I don't want you to have a little bit of a revelation. I want you to have the whole truth and nothing but the truth. I want you to walk in the truth. I'm a God of truth. And I want you to stand up in the power of my resurrection. I want you to march forth. I don't want you to be bound. I'll tell you something. You're bound when you give in to sin. The Bible said, whosoever you yield yourself servant to obey, his servant you are to whom you obey. But there's no power in false religion. There's no power in a little bit of a revelation. Listen, there's been a lot of little revelation come along. All these people have had a little bit of truth. Brother, I'm not interested in a little bit of truth. I'm interested in the whole truth. I'm not interested in knowing about God. I'm interested in walking in Him. I want to become bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. That's what God's calling me and you to. That ministry of Elijah withstood religious confusion, said, I'm going to show you how you know the difference. False religion will never make you perfect before God. It'll never burn out the dross and change your mind. It'll give you do's and don'ts till you'll be sick of them. You'll try them. You'll never do them. You'll never do them. Come on, that's the truth. And America's tired of trying to serve a God she cannot serve. Hello out there. I said, I meet people all the time trying to serve a God they cannot serve. But let me pour a little bit of the Holy Spirit in you. Let me stir you up with the anointing of God. And you'll begin to find your mind doesn't want to do it anymore. Your heart doesn't want to do it anymore. Where you used to think stuff that wasn't clean, your mind will begin to think things that are of God. Where you used to could get by with stuff, your mind will convict you. The Spirit of God will stir up inside of you and you won't be able to think it. That's the truth. That was Elijah's ministry. Moses' ministry was the ministry that circumcised the church. Brought it out of religious confusion. Pharaoh and Egypt were religious bondage. Moses was the first partaker of the fruit, and he came out exactly the same way God's people were getting ready to come out. That's the truth. That's the truth. There's so much stuff about Moses in that stuff. God kept giving us over and over and over again little tiny pictures over there about Moses. Shame on us. Jesus said, if you'd have known Moses, you'd have known me. Hello? Jesus said, if you'd have known Moses, you'd have known me. The Gentile church says, we don't need that Old Testament. Well, I'll tell you something. We better know it. In it is a timetable that God gave us to declare all the way to the end times. 1948, something else happened besides Israel becoming a nation. In 1948, the World Council of Churches was formed. 1948, the World Council of Churches was formed. That's the devil's Feast of Trumpets. Hello? Come on. Everything God ever did, the devil tried to duplicate. God sent a message. In that great revival said, come out from among them and be separate. I'm going to draw you into a unity. Listen, you think you're going to keep old junk doctrine, and I'm going to keep old junk doctrine, and we're going to come into unity? Never. Never. God isn't going to have unity filled with junk doctrine. He's going to have unity in truth. You and I are going to speak the same thing. You know why? We got the same teacher, the Holy Ghost. Come on, that's the truth. Moses came along there. People tell me, Moses, he was a type of the law. Moses was a type of the perfect fivefold ministry. Moses was a type of God's fivefold ministry. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Yeah, he was. That's why he couldn't go in the promised land. God would not let Moses go in the promised land because he was a type of the fivefold ministry. My job is to introduce you to Jesus Christ, to espouse you to him, a chaste virgin. Hello? That's my job. My job is to introduce you to Jesus and to leave you a virgin. My place ain't to make love to you. My place ain't to love you more than him. My place ain't to lord over you. My place ain't to boss you. My place is to introduce you to Jesus Christ and let you be espoused to him as a chaste virgin. That's my job. That's God's ministry's job. And that's what God called Moses to do. He said, Moses, I want you to go get my son. I want you to go get my people in Egypt. And I want you to bring them out to serve me. Hello? To worship me. I'll tell you what Moses did. He built the tabernacle. That's the Feast of Tabernacles. And all the old trash doctrines that come out of Bible school don't impress me one iota. Moses built the tabernacle in the wilderness. And my friends, that's the only tabernacle ever made out of skin until Jesus died on a cross. Hello? He said, I am a habitation to God. God inhabited the flesh of him. He's the chief cornerstone of the tabernacle God's going to build. Now listen to me. Elijah, under the ministry of Elijah, God's people were scattered. Elijah said, God, I only am left. How many of you remember reading that? God has led his people through an hour where you thought you were the only one believed like you did. Betcha. I'm not a betting man, but use that word. God's people have been led through an hour when they thought they were the only one that was going on with God like they were. They felt like, God, everywhere I turn, there's false religion. I'm not satisfied. I don't want to just go to church. I don't want to become merchandise to some religious business. I don't want to become part of the kingdoms of the doctrines of men. God's led his people that way. That was Elijah's ministry. But the ministry of Moses brought God's people into unity. That's something that's never happened in history. Do you know that? Do you know that? You think the early church was in unity? Read where the Apostle Paul showed up in Jerusalem. Remember Agabus said, Paul, you go up to Jerusalem, you're going to be bound to the girdle. They're going to betray you to the Romans. You're going to be betrayed. Remember? Paul said, don't break my heart. Don't weep over me. Don't cry for me. God's in this. He went up to Jerusalem, and the Bible said when Paul showed up, James told him, Paul, you see how many Jews there are that are zealous for the law? Hello? They said, Paul, we got 2,000 Jews here, and they believe that you have to keep the law, and we don't want you to tell them anything different. Was that unity? Hello? No, that wasn't unity. That early church didn't have unity, but the ministry of Moses is going to bring God's people into unity. That's what that tabernacle in the wilderness was all about. That's what the tabernacle in the wilderness was all about. Those skins were sewed together. Those skins were all sewed together. Listen. People say Moses was a type of the law. The Bible tells me that when Moses came down off of the mountain, his face shone with the glory of God, and he had to put a veil over his face. Law nothing. Law nothing. And the Apostle Paul in the New Testament said that veil is still over Israel's eyes. And it's taken away in the Holy Ghost. Lying nothing. I'll tell you something, that law, Moses didn't represent the law because grace, that revival in the New Testament, would not have made us understand it then. Why would God give a law? If Moses represented the law, why would God conceal it until he changed it? Hello? Why would God conceal it? If Moses represented the law, why would God conceal the law and then change it and then declare it? That came out of Bible school. I don't know where it came from. I heard it before. I've heard it all over the land. Moses brought God's people into a spirit of unity. Marched up there to Pharaoh, and it was his day. Pharaoh said, yeah, you can leave. And I've decided to be generous with you. You can also take your little kids. Remember, he wasn't going to let them take their kids. Now he said, you can't take your cattle and you can't take your sheep. Now listen, that doesn't sound like much until you remember that the Bible said that Pharaoh, back in the days of Joseph, they didn't want his relatives around because they were herdspeople. Remember that? The Egyptians weren't herdspeople. They didn't want anything to do with these Israelites that brought in herds. Hey, they were the farmers, and man, they didn't want those herds coming in there. Hey, did they have range wars in America because the people had cattle and sheep and all that kind of stuff? The people that had cattle shot the people that had sheep, and the people that had sheep got shot by the farmers? Hello? Stuff didn't change much. But Pharaoh said, I'm going to keep your cattle. I'm going to keep your sheep. You can go, but I'm going to keep your substance. Moses said, then I ain't going. Doesn't sound very conciliatory, does it? Doesn't sound like he was trying to be Mr. Nice, does it? I mean, you know, you wanted to leave the country, Moses. Come on, give this guy a break. He's trying to be nice. He said you could have your kids. Come on, just let him go. Pharaoh said, you can't take your sheep and you can't take your cows. Moses said, I ain't going. Till I can take them. And the Bible said that Pharaoh stood up and he said, I don't want to ever see you again. You ever come back in here in front of me, and I'm going to kill you. The day you come back and I see you, you're going to die. Moses said, all right, according to your word, so be it. According to your word, so be it. Let me tell you something, Pharaoh. At about midnight, there's going to be a death happen to you. You think you're in charge, you think you're in control of God's people, and you're not going to let them come out and worship God freely? You keep them bound up with your rules and do's and don'ts and laws and creeds and doctrines? Let me tell you something. About midnight today, there's going to be a death angel come through the land, And it's going to destroy the firstborn all the way from your son, your firstborn, all the way down to the handmaiden that lives behind the mill. And these servants that are in here and y'all acting so hotshot and tough, you're acting like you're somebody and you want to know where I get authority to do what I do. You're talking like you're somebody and I'm nobody. Let me tell you something, Pharaoh. At midnight tonight, the straw is going to be broken. And the turn of tide is going to get turned. And you're and all of these hotshot people that are talking so tough in this room tonight, you're going to bow down at my feet. And you're going to say, take your people, take your children, take your cattle, take your sheep, take everything that you want. Take our gold, take our diamonds, take our clothes, take everything of value from us. I'll tell you something. When I leave this place, I'm going out because God sent me out. You're not doing me a favor sending me out. God's hardened your heart. I'll tell you something. That's what's happening in religion today. God is bringing a word, and I'm not going to be conciliatory to the religion. I'm not going to be conciliatory to doctrine. I'm not going to be conciliatory to the lies that have been fed God's people, because God's people are still in chains, and God's got a word that'll make them free. And every place I go, we went into Topeka 2 years ago, and the churches boycotted us where we'd been before. That's the truth. I went in there and set that tent up at 10th and Long. And one of the churches that had come out and helped us, they'd sent out a singing group. They'd come out to Meriden 1 year while we were up there. And that preacher boycotted us, and not a single person from his church showed up. And I thought he was my friend. I thought he was enlightened. But I tell you something, tonight he's not the pastor of that church anymore. I said, tonight he's not the pastor of that church anymore. He said all kinds of things about me and the doctrines that I teach. And before that revival closed, one of his buses ran over a little five-year-old kid. I'll tell you something. God's through being conciliatory. And tonight, that pastor's no longer the pastor of that church. Two other men had a church right down the road from us, and they boycotted it. They told the people to stay away from it. And tonight, sin has come into the camp, and that church is divided. And there's all kinds of strife. There's all kinds of coming down. Let me tell you something. God's going to work against the religious confusion of this world. And if you've got what God's got going, you're going to see what God's doing. And if you humble yourself before the Lord, listen, I'm not proud in what God's doing. But I know that God's going to change it. I'm here to tell you, God's going to change it. And it's going to get hot before this thing is over. Listen to me. It's going to get hot before this thing is over. God's not going to go around with his hat in his hand begging the preachers, come on, I raised you up to present my bride a chaste virgin. Let her go. Come on, let her come and serve me. Come on, let her be a spouse to me. Come on, turn her loose. But I'll tell you something, God isn't going to go around begging nobody. God ain't going to beg. We're in an hour. Now let me tell you something. God said, I'll tell you how I'm going to get my people free. Destruction. I'm going to rain out destruction. I'm going to let the death angel loose. Do you know who the death angel is? He said, I'm going to turn loose the death angel on the world. Now he said, there's only going to be one difference. Those that are covered by the blood of the Lamb will be spared in this hour. Those that are covered by the blood of the Lamb are going to be spared in this hour. God didn't just tell Moses, you kill a lamb and put the blood on the door. He said, you eat that lamb, every bit of it. Eat it with bitter herbs. Listen to me. The doctrines of men don't give you bitter herbs. They don't give you bitter herbs. There's some things about the Bible that'll be bitter to you when you eat it. The Word of God will change me and you, and it will be bitter to our flesh. That's the truth. God said, don't sodden it with water. He said, roast it with fire. That's the Holy Spirit. You let the Holy Spirit prepare the Word of God, and it'll come out truth every time. I said, you let the Holy Spirit cook the Word of God, prepare it, and it'll come out truth every time. He said, don't eat it raw. Don't eat it raw. Cook it with the Holy Ghost. That's the truth. That's the truth. That's what God's doing to me and you. Unto me and you. That preparation of the heart is changing. Listen to me. Do you know what's going on in the midst of us? God's worked on the doctrines of men, but you know what's part of the problem now? That spirit of rebellion. Spirit of rebellion. That same spirit that Pharaoh had about Moses. Who are you to tell me? You see, we've come out of the churches, but one thing we've forgotten was that when God sends a man along, we've got to listen to what the man says, and we don't have the right to pick and choose. Hello? Yeah. That's why God gave you the Holy Spirit. I'm not telling you to listen to every man that comes along. I'm telling you, when you've got the Holy Spirit, it'll tell you. Jesus said, my sheep will know my voice, when another they'll not follow. So that when somebody comes along and it's the voice of the Lord, you don't have the right to pick and choose on that. That's that spirit of rebellion. And the devil's been fighting this gathering, this congregation, with that. It isn't good enough that we've left the doctrines of men behind. It isn't good enough that we've asked God for truth. Listen to me. If you've asked God for truth and God sends it to you, you've got to recognize what God's doing. And He's preparing us. Josiah, greatest revival Israel ever had. Do you know they had the greatest Passover they had under any of the kings under Josiah? Do you know that? One of the last kings in the whole kingdom in the Old Testament, God's people, Josiah, had the greatest revival. God said, I'm still not going to repent of the evil that I said was going to come on you. But man, that's some revival. And the Bible said they had the greatest Passover that they'd ever had under any of the kings. And you know what happened to Josiah? He got in a fight with the king of Egypt. Josiah got in a fight with the king of Egypt and he got killed. You know why? You know why? God didn't send him against him. The time wasn't yet. That's the truth. That revival that sprung up in 1948, what happened to that revival? Come on, what happened to it, you guys? What happened to that great revival? Oral Roberts, his message in 1948 was come out of the denominational churches. Come on, let's go serve God. Let's serve God in spirit and truth. Come on, 1948. I'm not old enough to remember all of that. But I'll tell you, I'm old enough to remember Oral Roberts' 1950s. And the anointing and the power of God that stood with miracles to confirm the Word. And you know what happened in 1948? The denominational churches, including the Assemblies of God, went to war with those ministries that were not a part of them. Hello? And they discredited them in their magazines and fought them, and they wrote all sorts of articles. Stay away from this Oral Roberts guy. Come on, ain't any of you old enough to remember when the church world was trying to tell you that Billy Graham and Oral Roberts were of the devil? And then the Methodist Church said, come on, Oral Roberts, you can't take care of that university by yourself. Join us. Now they don't say nothing ugly about him. Tell you something. They have the greatest Passover time that we've had in America. But it wasn't time yet to fight it. It wasn't time to fight it yet. But I'll tell you something. I hear the ticking of the clock. I'll tell you something. I've heard a message from the bush. Said, I've heard a message from the bush. The hour has begun to change. God's beginning to call a people that will stand up against that kind of stuff. People say, now, Brother Isley, listen to me. The Bible said, Jesus said, pray that you're not deceived in that last day. You know why? You know why? Because it isn't going to be people in the honky-tonk standing up calling the preacher's names. It's going to be people in the pulpit calling God's true ministry's names. I said it's going to be people that look and talk and sound like God's people. That's where the deception's going to come in. The devil's going to try and match the church of God as much as he can. And that's what Egypt was all about. She was church. God said, right now you're having church in Egypt. My people are right in the middle of it.
But I'm going to change it because death is going to be poured out and destruction, and the only people that are going to be able to come through this are those that are covered by the blood of the Lamb and have done what I told them to do. That's the difference. That's the difference. The Passover Lamb. The Passover Lamb. That's the difference. That's your shield. That's your protection. That's your peace. God is making a difference. You're going to have to listen to His voice. That's why you've got to know who's preaching the truth and who's not. I'm not talking this just to be cranky. I'm not talking this so you'll join my church. I'm talking this so you'll join the church. I'm telling you this because you've got to be warned, and you've got to know that everybody that comes along and says, "Lord, Lord," ain't nothing. You've got to know the voice of the shepherd, and that's going to be the way you're going to go through. And there's a power in those ministries. Moses didn't stand there and say anything of himself. What he said, "I've heard from God." Pharaoh. While he was standing there in Pharaoh's courtroom, and Pharaoh said, "If I see you again, you're going to die." And the Spirit of God spoke to Moses standing right there and said, "At midnight tonight, I'm going to put death all the way through this land. You tell this man you're right, Pharaoh. You're right in what you say." I'll tell you something. The difference in that was, "Thus saith the Lord." Pharaoh was a king, but he did not have "thus saith the Lord." He was a king of a religious kingdom, but he did not have "thus saith the Lord." He could rule over God's people for a time, but he could not say "thus saith the Lord." And out of the wilderness came a man with the word of God, and he marched into Pharaoh's courthouse, and he said, "Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, let my people go." I'll tell you something, the world is not crying for preachers that can talk about God. They're not crying for preachers that know about God. They're not interested in whether he was born in Bethlehem, Judea, in the spring or the summer or the winter. Brother, they are interested in whether or not you've got a word inside of you that came straight from the throne of God. Whether or not it came from God so that you can stand up against evil and say, "Thus saith the Lord." Now, you know what that does to a man that's in adultery? It'll tear him up. You know what that'll do to a man in idolatry? It'll tear him up. If your kingdom is of anything but God, when you hear somebody say, "Thus saith the Lord," it'll tear it down. And you'd better be able to humble down, or you'd better be able to go out. That's the truth. That's the truth. Moses said, "I'll tell you, the devil tried to kill me as a baby. The devil tried to kill me as a baby, but he couldn't do it. He tried to tear me down, but he couldn't do it. They hid me 3 months. I'll tell you something, God hid me 3 months. The power of God must have sheltered that house. I'd have liked to have seen a picture of infrared, like they take from satellites, where it shows you where the heat is. I believe that there was an infrared covering of heat over that place. And then finally his mother put him in a basket and put him in the river, and the Spirit of God brought him up out of that river. I'll tell you something, that's the kind of power that God is, and he's raising up some people that are going to be hit of God, because the devil can't stand you. Amen. Devil can't stand you. That's what's wrong with the church. We've been far enough away from God. When we get around the Spirit of God, we begin to get offended in it. Hello? Yeah? The Word of God is offensive. Moses came on the scene and he turned the children of Israel and their world upside down. He didn't make it better. He made it worse. How many know that? Hello? I said, Moses didn't make the world better. Moses made the world worse, because the Bible said that Pharaoh said, "If this guy's going to come and pester me, I'm going to come down on the children of Israel. I'm not going to give you no more straw. You've got to go get the old straw yourself. And you're still going to have to work just as hard as you did before. Plus, you're going to have to do that." Come on. Come on, that's the truth. Even the people that were going to come out under that ministry hated it. Hello out there.
Amen.
There just was no place else to go. Did you know that? They didn't like Moses. They didn't want to go with Moses. They didn't want to go with him. He'd called plagues on them. Had he called plagues on them? Did they get the first plagues with, right along with Egypt?
Yep.
Moses came in there and everybody got it. That's the truth. And Moses, I'm sure he kept telling God, God, you can't do this to these people. They won't come out.
God said, don't worry about Moses. When I get done with this thing, they'll all come out.
Amen. Moses said, they hated me when I came back. He said, they're going to hate you worse before they go out.
Amen.
Well, they're still coming out. Because I ain't bringing them out because they like you. I'm bringing them out because I'm God, and they're my people, and they're going to serve me. I'm going to tear their flesh off in the wilderness because I cannot stand the flesh of man.
Amen.
His enmity with me. And he said, I've just raised you up as a tool. You're going to show them a pattern of a house, a habitation to God, and it's going to be made out of dead skins. And all the way through the world, men are going to know that the way to be a part of God's habitation is to become a dead skin. God needs some ministries that'll strip your old dry hide off of you and tan it. Hello? I said, God needs some ministries that'll tear the hide off of you and tan it, because that's what the Feast of Tabernacles is going to be all about. God's going to have a habitation, and you're going to be part of it, and that's the good news. The bad news is, you got to lose your hide to be a part of it. Come on, that's the truth. You and me? You and me? We're going to see some changes. It's going to be too hot for some people. God sent me here to blow a trumpet. Yeah, he did. God sent me here to blow a trumpet. I told you a message straight from God. Yep. It amazes me that people have treated it so lightly. I didn't treat it lightly when God sent me a trumpet. I'm telling you the truth. I didn't treat it lightly. I dug in and stayed with it. Some of you all been so busy fussing and fighting with me that you haven't had a chance to know that God is sending you a trumpet that you're going to have to obey. That's the truth. But I still sounded the trumpet. The message went out. The message went out. God's asking you to sound the trumpet. Do you know that? I'm not the Lone Ranger in this thing. I don't believe that you'd be here if God wasn't asking you to sound the trumpet. But your hide better get tough. Do you know that? Your hide better get tough. Because the devil's going to turn people on you. They're going to say all manner of evil against you falsely for his name's sake. There's a man preaching all kinds of trash on TV. He sits around smoking a cigar, wearing a big old hat, talking ugly. Somebody called me over to their house, said I want to... They hadn't invited me over to their house in I don't know how long. They said, Brother Isaac, come over for dinner. Most generally when I get an invitation like that, I am dinner. I went over there, and the minute I walked in the door, they said, oh, Brother Isaac, I want to show you something on the VCR. They caught this preacher on the VCR, and they put that thing in the TV. And that trash commenced to roll through their living room. And this man had kept telling me, Brother Rice, you're bitter against the churches. You've got a bitter spirit against the churches. Yeah, I do. Don't think for a second I don't have a bitter spirit against the churches. Because I've got God's people bound in doctrines, and the people think they're headed to heaven. And the Bible said they're going to split hell wide open. If that don't upset you, nothing will upset you. Listen to me. If you took your baby to a doctor, and that doctor said he needed surgery, and that doctor had never been to medical school, and he took your baby and put it on an operating table and killed it, don't tell me you wouldn't leave there grieved. Don't tell me you wouldn't try to expose what he'd done. That's exactly what's going on to God's little babies. They get hungry for God, and they stumble into a church, and the church makes them merchandise. They love them as long as they'll bring their offering. They pat them on the back. They get them to do everything they can. Brother, I'll tell you something. People stumble into a church and they want to make you a Sunday school teacher and you haven't even been to the altar yet. They want you to teach their little kids. Brother, you ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You ought to know the Word of God. You ought to be a praying and fasting person before you enter into a place to teach kids. You know that's the truth. That's what's wrong with the church world today. But they want to keep you busy so you'll stay around. But I'll tell you something. When you get to the altar of God, you're going to stay around because that's the only place you can go. There ain't no place else. You're not going to stay because I have you teach Sunday school. You're either going to stay because the power of God's brought you here and you want more of God, or you're not going to hang around.
Amen.
That's the truth. And he kept telling me, you're just bitter against the churches. Then he got me in there and flipped that VCR on. He said, well, Brother Risley, he's bitter, ain't he? You know what he was telling me? That's the way you look, Brother Risley. The only thing is, there's a difference between the anointing of God and filth. And brother, if you don't know the difference between the anointing of God and filth, if you can't tell the difference of the anointing of God and filth, brother, the devil can duplicate every message of God, but he cannot duplicate the anointing of God. And if you hear some kind of filth being pumped and you equate it with an anointing of God, you don't know God. You don't know the Spirit of God. You don't know the voice of God. That's the truth. I went ahead and ate. Well, I was there. I wasn't as hungry when we ate as I was when I got there. World's going to cast your name out as evil because you set your heart for the truth. Because you set your heart for the truth. See, the spirit of Elijah fell on Elisha. And it fell on John the Baptist. See, it fell on men. What does that tell you? That spirit of that man fell on men. Now listen, the Bible said that that ministry was going to rise up in the last days. He means that anointing is going to fall on men. When Jesus and the disciples were coming down off the mountain of transfiguration, the Bible said that the disciples said, Lord, how come the scribes say that Elijah's got to come first? And Jesus said, he shall come. That's future tense. And then he said, if you can receive it, he has come. They've done to him whatever they wanted to. Don't tell me that that wasn't a prophetic utterance about the two anointed ministries, because they wouldn't have brought it up coming down that mountain if something wasn't declared up there about them being the two anointed ministries. That's the truth. That's the truth. Elijah shall come. That anointing fell on men just like me and you. Come on, that's the truth. The Bible said Elijah was a man of like passion. And he prayed that it would rain not. The Bible said it rained not for the space. Hello? The Bible said these two ministries are going to upset the whole earth. Said it's going to, they will be able to call plagues down. How can the law, how could the law, the old letter of the law, be one of those anointed things and call down plagues? Said they'll be able to turn water into blood. How is that going to be from the law? In the law, Moses turned the water into blood in Egypt. That's the truth. And Elijah prayed that it didn't rain. Now listen, that's how God's going to get the world's attention. Are those nice guys? Think about it. What I'm warning you is that God's going to raise up an anointing that is not going to seem like they are the nice guys. They are going to seem like they are the bad guys. And the men that are running around preaching, oh, far be it from you. You're God's saints. You're God's people. Far be it from you. Brother, I'll tell you something. There are people today that say, America ain't coming down. America's getting, brother, I'm telling you, America ain't getting better. She's coming down. Come on, that's the truth. This country's coming down. We cannot stop our debt. Just that alone is going to bring this country to defeat. If you're covered by the blood of the Lamb, you're going to be okay. That's God's promise. He's your Prince of Peace. He said, no evil shall befall thee. Hello? Is that from your Bible too? He said, no evil befall thee. Moses said, this is it. We're going to call plagues until everybody pays attention to what God's doing. And then he got everybody's attention. And when the death angel went through the land, they spewed them out and they left instantly. That's the truth. That's the truth. We're coming to that hour. This is no Josiah hour. This is no hour for Josiah to rise up to try to withstand Pharaoh. Brother, this is God and it's of God. This is an hour. God's marked it out for defeat. And he's begun to prepare a people whose hearts are tender to the Lord. Sure. Why do you think God's people are meeting in houses and old buildings and getting together for Bible studies and stuff? They're starving to death. And God's drawing them out. That's the truth. God's drawing you out. You and me got a choice. We got a choice. We can serve Him with all of our heart, or we can serve religion. But you and I are going to rapidly come to that place where the choice will be ours. Where the choice will be just ours. And God's going to have a people that are going to know the truth. And they're not going to fuss and fight with the truth. And all the preachers that come along that are preaching the truth aren't going to be fought and lied about. And the preachers aren't going to stand in their pulpits and talk about them for 7 months after they leave either. If you're a true ministry of God, you're going to know the true ministries of God. Hello? Let's stand to our feet. Tell you something. There's just a little bit of rebellion against the Word of God, and it's binding our services. That's the truth. Just a little bit of rebellion, just a little bit of covered up, just a little bit of hidden. God's called me and you deeper than that. You're more mature than that. You're more grown up than that. God has discovered it, and He's not going to leave it. The more mature you are, the less God honors rebellion. Now I'll tell you what happens. You are offering your children to the devil when you rebel against God. That's the truth. You give your children away to the devil. Because the truth is a covering for you and your household. And we're growing up. God's changing me and you. He's bringing us past the old flesh. We've come a long way. But God didn't ask me to come up here and just blow a trumpet. He sent me up here to sound a message that will make a difference in your life. I don't run around trying to lift myself up. But I feel somber. I'll tell you something. I was burdened today as bad as I can recall ever being burdened. And that's because God is telling me and you that we've come to the hour of the end of the rebellion. The services have been dragging. There are people that have been angry over this and that and the other thing. Every decision that I've made that God's caused me to make since I've been here has upset somebody. Yeah, it has. It's upset somebody. I either don't do enough or I do too much. Or I don't do this or I do that. Now, if you're so busy with the I don't do's and the I do do's that you don't hear the trumpet, God is still going to judge you for the sound of the trumpet. You understand what I'm saying? And I've not come up here to move in, and I've not come up here to build myself a kingdom. God stirred me up to leave. I'm stirred to leave. And I know that some of you haven't done what God sent me here to start you doing. Do you know that? I know that. Some of you have had an advantage of a trumpet sound, and you haven't done it. You've been too busy fighting with me, too busy fussing. Too busy thinking you're in charge. You're not in charge. God sent me here to be in charge. He didn't send me here to stay forever in charge. But He sent me here to be in charge. And that's just your advantage. That's all. That's all. If I was sent here to teach you how to build a bridge across the Kansas River, and you showed up 1/5 of the time that I was teaching you how to do it, you'd be the loser. You'd be the loser. God didn't send me here to just rattle my jaws. He sent me here because there's something changing in your life. And some of you should have been mature enough to recognize what was going on, and instead you didn't recognize what was going on. You let that rebellion fuss in you. We're still there. We're still there. But you're forfeiting the knowledge God sent you, that's all. Now God's raising you up, a people to Himself. You don't need me, you need Him. But He sent me here to tell you a message from Him. That's what He sent me here for. And I don't make no bones about it. I'm not an arrogant person and I'm not lifted up in pride. But I'm grieved. I'm grieved. I am grieved. And so if there's something in your life that's been in rebellion, if there's something in your life that's doing battle, I believe we've come to an hour of deliverance. Part of the problem with ministering is that you're all called to minister. But you'll fail at your ministering if you don't pay attention to what I've gone through. I've had some services that I wished I was out peddling sandpaper. And some of y'all are going to get in services like that, and you'll quit preaching when you get in services like that because you'll think God deserted you. But if you'd have been in my services, you'd have found out I didn't quit when it got tough like that. I got tough with God. I just laid out before the Lord and I quit all of the things that I was doing in the physical world and got serious with God. I was working a job in Kansas City, and when the church began to get tough and that spirit began to get worse and worse and worse, and I was doing everything I could that people thought I ought to be doing to make them happy. And it wasn't making nobody really happy. The only thing it was doing was giving a weakness to me and strength to that spirit of rebellion. And you know what I did? I quit my job. Because it was more important to do that. Listen to me. God did that in front of you. God's done all of these things in front of you to show you what's more important in your life. You're going to get into places that have been just like my last 2 years here. And you'll get discouraged. Because the devil will tear at you. And what God's telling you is that if you're going to get into the ministry, you haven't got an excuse in the world. Because if you can't clean pots and scrape puke and preach to people that aren't happy about it, you're not going to be part of what God's doing. And if you'd have been watching me close, you'd have thought, shame on me for not hanging tough when God sent me to do it. Come on. And you're all being called to do it. And you'll get to scraping a pot somewhere and you'll get to thinking, praise God. I'm scraping a pot. I'm finally scraping a pot. You'll get to clean up puke. You'll think, praise God, I'm finally cleaning up puke. I'm really in the ministry now. Hallelujah, praise be to God. You'll be freezing and building a fire and you can see your breath shoot out this far. You can't take your guitar to church until the place gets warmed up. And you'll say, praise God, we're finally getting somewhere in the ministry. And the devil will say, but what about this dry old service? Listen, I've had people leave my services and I could tell they were angry at me. And there were some kids in that place that I knew needed a word from God. And it broke my heart. I wanted to minister to them so bad I couldn't stand it. God said, shut up. He said, I'm not going to minister to people that are running around talking about you behind your back. I didn't know they were talking about me behind my back. God said, shut up. We're not going to have no service here. If you were in that service, I just stood there dumbfounded. And I said, let's just all join hands and pray. Finally, the Lord spoke to me and said, they're talking about you. A woman called me the next day and she said, man, was I at a backstabbing party yesterday? You're back. She said, I've never heard anybody talked about like you were. And those people were all in the church that night. God said, I'm not going to preach to them. God said, I'm going to preach to this. I'm not going to preach to this. Let me tell you something. Some of the women that I love had driven for a long ways to be in that service, and they left that place that night and they said, I ain't going back in there. Why? I drive all the way from wherever I drove from to be in a service, and it was no better than that. My flesh went home and said, man, that was a horrible service. I would never want to be in a service like that. Listen to me. You ought to have been there. Some of you were. Some of you wish you weren't. But I appreciated you. And those women got to the four corners over there outside of Lawrence and had a flat tire and couldn't go nowhere. God sent a couple of men along and they stopped and fixed the tire.
The women tried to drive away and their battery was dead. And the men had drove away and they saw that the van didn't move and they drove back and said, "Lady, what's the matter?" She said, "Well, I hate to trouble you, but could you jump my van?" That guy probably thought, "Lady, do you need gas?" You know what God was telling her? You know what God was telling her? Sometimes you need somebody to just stay with you. Sometimes you just need people that'll stick with you. You think that man wasn't tired? It was cold. You think he didn't want to drive off when he saw that van wasn't moving? Don't you think he thought, "Man, I wish I hadn't stopped talking to that lady"? God is telling that woman, "Don't you understand? That man needed you in that service. He needs you. What are you talking about? You're not never going back. What are you talking about? He needs you. He needs you." But I'll tell you something. I went home that night knowing that they weren't coming back. I knew it in my heart. I felt it when they left. I went home that night and I felt like someone had jumped all over my heart. I mean, I ached all over inside. That's what I felt. Terrible. He's all right. He's just trying to stand with me. Probably paying attention to what I'm preaching. That's the truth. And you are going to go through the same thing. You're going to minister the truth to somebody, and they're going to hurt your feelings. You'll know it when they leave. You're going to think, "Boy, wish I didn't have to tell them that." But don't quit. Don't ever quit. See what God's been doing to you, showing you and helping you with? Don't be discouraged. Do not be discouraged. Don't ever be discouraged. Father, I thank you for your word of truth, for your spirit of truth. God, I pray that you will minister to every need of every person in this place. God, don't let the devil have an advantage over a single person, not a single person. Jesus, I ask that you will raise these ministries up that are in this place tonight. Encourage them when they could be discouraged. God, cause them to remember something that we've gone through. God, cause them to remember how it can be in the ministry so that they don't fall to discouragement. God, I pray that you'll encourage every person in here to preach your truth and to stand with your truth. And when it becomes an unpopular thing more than it is right now, strengthen us. God, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we might speak thy truth by stretching forth your hand to heal in the name of Jesus, your holy child. Father, I pray it in your righteous name. Father, I pray it in your mighty name. God, I ask that you'll break down every spirit of rebellion. I'm ready to have church in the church. I'm ready, God, to present these people to you as a chaste virgin. God, I'm ready, Lord, to go about your business and to go wherever you'd have me to go. God, stir up these people. God, these are people that you've called and chosen. Not one of them should hang their head. God, not one of them should hang their head. Not one of them should be discouraged about their past. God, they've seen what the ministry's to be, and now they should be encouraged to go forward in you. God, I pray that every single person that's been in this service tonight will be encouraged by your word in their life and that they will have a clearer vision of the hour ahead. I pray, Jesus, for the Feast of Tabernacles. I pray, God, that we'll have the vision to work together in that spiritual habitation to the mighty God. Father, I pray that you'll inhabit your people and that you will put us together by the anointing of Thus Saith the Lord, with a ministry of your fivefold nature, and that your Spirit will minister it, God, and that these people will be a mighty part of what your word is for this hour. God, I pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.